Blog Talk Radio.
God, we're grateful because if it had not been for you, we would not be here. We opened our eyes this morning, God, because you gave us the strength to open our eyes. We were able to rise because you gave us strength in our limbs and the facilities of our body. We were able to get here, God, because you blessed us and brought us the way of safety and did not allow harm to come to us, Lord. We're grateful to again come into your presence because we know where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And as we come before you today, have your way, Lord. Let flesh be crucified that you might be glorified, that your people might be edified in the name of Jesus. For God in you is life. And that's what we seek, God, life, eternal life, God. And we pray, oh God, today that you will touch every person that have come seeking you, Lord. Bind the hand of the devil, God. Rebuke the hand of the enemy, Lord. God, let your anointing that resonates in this place even now. God, let there be an outpouring on your people. We need you, God, to take us to another level in you, Lord. God, we're faced with demonic forces, God. Evil spirits have come up against us, Lord, and we need to be fortified with your power. God, we can't make it on our own strength, God. We don't have enough to stand on, Lord. But we know, God, that your joy is our strength. Fill us up on today in the name of Jesus. Somebody have come this morning burdened down, God, with the issues of life, God. Somebody, God, is in the battle of their life. Somebody's, God, fighting in their mind and in their spirit, Lord, where the devil have come into war against them, Lord. But we thank you, God, because we know greater are you that's within us than he that is within this world, God. We know, God, that you are a deliverer, Lord, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you're no short of your promise, Lord, and you're able to deliver us, Lord. Touch us on today, Lord. We need you like never before. Fill us up with the Holy Ghost, God, and give us a refilling, Lord, that when we leave here today, Lord, we can leave with your anointing, Lord, that as we meet men and women, boys and girls, they might be converted to know who you are, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you because you are a healer. You're the God that healeth thee, and healing is in your wings, and you're able to touch our feeble bodies. You're able to save our troubled souls, and in the name of Jesus, bind every demon, Lord, every demonic force, Lord, God, that comes to keep us in the same place, Lord. We're willing, God, to surrender and say yes to your will, Lord. We're willing to turn our lives, God, over into your hands, Lord, because we come to the place, God, where we realize like never before, we need you, Jesus. More than anything we know, we need you, Jesus. While men are trying to find, God, solutions to this chaotic world, God, we're looking to you, Lord, because we know for every right desire, there is an answer, and Jesus, you're that answer. There's no need for us, God, to turn hither or thither, Lord. We need but to look for you, Lord, because you're the answer, God, for our troubled lives, Lord. Touch on the day, God. Break every yoke, oh God. Save on the day, God. Deliver on the day, God. Jesus, we need you, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We're crying out to you, Lord. We know that you're able to save our souls. We know that you're able, God, to heal our bodies, Jesus. We know that you're able, God, to turn our situations around. Jesus, no other help we know. No other help we know. No other help we know, God. You're able, Jesus, to deliver our children. You're able, Jesus, to save the unsaved husband. You're able, Jesus, to heal the cancer patient. Nothing too hard for you, Jesus. No other God we know. We know that you're able, Jesus. We know that you're able, Jesus. We say yes to your will, God. Yes to your way, Lord. Have your way, Jesus. And we'll thank you for it. And we'll give your name the praise. And we'll bless you, Lord. Yes, we thank you, Lord. And we bless your holy name. Come on, open your mouth and give the Lord some praise.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we're grateful unto Almighty God for another Monday morning. We thank him for all he has done, what he's doing right now, and what he's going to do. Great and mighty things for us. And the Lord has just been faithful over and over and over again, and he is good. Want to thank everybody for every birthday gift, every call, every message, every gift card, everything that was done for me to help me celebrate my birthday. I was blessed to go over to Red Lobster yesterday with my family, and more family showed up than I thought. And my nephew come out of North Carolina with his wife, and he brought me a wonderful gift. And I was just so blessed to see him, and everybody was just so happy to be together. And I hadn't seen my niece in a few while. I will say it like that. She showed up yesterday, my youngest brother, oldest daughter, and Marlene. She showed up yesterday. I was really surprised. My cousin Donna and her son come, and it just made my day. It just made my day. My nieces, Peaches and Prune, they were just so good to me. My great niece Nita blessed me with some bags of gifts, and I was just excited. And she bought me a purse. I'm not into purses, but boy, I love this purse. And so I'm thankful unto the Lord for all he did concerning my birthday encouragement and everything like that. Brother Louis, I have a new office chair coming. So it should be here Thursday. So it should be no more of that rough from his old chair. But I have a new one that will be here Thursday. Thank God for you. And I'm just so blessed. And I thank God for those who told me that this money is not for your ministry. It is for you. Enjoy. And so I thank God for each of you. Thank God for those that sent me Twitter birthday wishes and LinkedIn and Instagram. I just thank you. So Facebook was lit, as they say. I thank God for you. Thank God for you. All the beautiful words of encouragement. And again, God is just faithful. He is just faithful. I heard the prophet say that we're going to war, he said. And he said that America's going to misfire. And he said when they misfire, all your 401k, Social Security, he said, kiss that goodbye. He said, but this, and the just shall live by faith. In other words, we're walking by faith and not by sight. You won't miss a beat from eating. You won't miss a beat from nothing. And so we thank God for our faith. We thank God for our hope in him, because he's going to supply for many of us. I've never been so blessed as I am right now, and I don't think God started it to cut it off, as long as I do what I'm supposed to do. Yeah, it's growing. He's growing in me, and he's growing the things that he gives to me. So I'm grateful unto him. Brother Lou, I'm going to try to copy that and see if I can put it in there. Brother Lou and I was talking this morning about stocking things, prepping, in other words, preparing. And, you know, having non-perishable food, dry beans and rice and flour and meal and oatmeal and candles and batteries and emergency radio, mosquito repellent, oil lamps, oil for your lamps, and that kind of stuff, because we never know where this thing will go. But the believer, we're trusting God And we believe that he is able. Wow. Thank you, Brother Louis. Yeah, you know, we walk by faith again and not by sight, and we're moving on in him. But if we can prepare, we need to prepare some things. If you got a place to store gas, I would even get me a little bit of gas, you know, and store it if I could. And that way, if, you know, you got to go somewhere, if you can go somewhere, and the service station, you know, run out or you need gas for something, you're able to do it. So we just trust the Lord. Oh, wow. Oh, I like that, Brother Louis. Thank you, sir. Yeah. So we're grateful unto the Lord, and we appreciate him. And we just pray. That's all we can do is just pray. And we know that God is faithful. Yeah, I believe that this thing is, you know, it may get much uglier than we think. And if I, you know, I was thinking maybe we could mind our business, but I don't think we will. I think we'll get in it just for the sake of a bluff being said or something, you know, to show we're not going to be cowards. We won't be bullied or whatever, you know, we may feel. But I don't think that when someone get angry and they decide to war against somebody else, they're never considerate of the innocent people. They just come in against everybody. It's pitiful. But we pray for peace. We pray for peace. We pray that God's wills be done, his will be done. We pray for those that are brothers and sisters in Christ, that God will lose his protecting angels, you know, to stand watch, to shield and protect. And because we know if you're not for God, then you're against him. And you're the enemy of God. I can't ask God to bless his enemies. Yeah. Because he know what he's doing. And that means that if you're against him, I could pray for you, you know, for him to bless you. But guess what? I don't think this is the hour that God is blessing his enemies. Yeah. Uh-uh. Because he sees the very intent of the enemy's heart against him. So he's not going to bless something that's going to destroy him. Yeah, but we thank God. We thank God today that he's able to see us through. I wanted to talk this morning from the book of Solomon. And I was looking this weekend, and the Lord was showing me a few things over in that book. And I tell you, I kind of amazed. I've been through it before, but I went through it. I'm going to be honest with you. I just went through the book. I didn't really study the book. Now, I can tell you all about 1st and 2nd Samuel, Genesis, a couple other things, but when it comes to the book of Kings, I didn't really study. So I wanted to go there this morning. We walked through it together. And you may have find some points that I missed that you can bring to our attention, bring to our remembrance. Those of us that have read it before and maybe stayed in it a few minutes, but not too long. And, you know, we may be able to help one another through this book, because I think it's a good idea that, you know, we work together and I not continue to try and share with you in a certain way, but that we find these things together. And I ask you, did you get the same thing I got? Well, did you get the same thing I got? That kind of thing, because how can two walk together except they agree? So that's what came to my mind. So this week I want to go through this book. Another thing this week is this. You talking about a soap opera. Ooh-wee, you're going to get to see. that the people back in what they call, it's still the Bible days now, but what they call the Bible days, you're going to get to see they're a lot like the people today. See, one thing about human beings, they the same. The same human beings was back there are the same. They have the same mentality, the same way of thinking, the same evil as they did back there. They have that today, and it's getting wickeder and wiser is the way people are becoming. But the scripture says there's nothing new under the sun. Nothing new. I want to go back to this right quick. The scripture said when we hear of wars and rumors of wars, don't be afraid. Don't be all alarmed. Just know it's closer to the return of our Lord and Savior. Just know that God is coming back. And it's just time for us to pray more to get the spots and the wrinkles out of us so that we'll be prepared when he returns. Because that's what's most important. I can live without food. I can even live without a roof. I can even live without money, but I can't make it without God. Hallelujah. And so we want to seek him. And don't be afraid or alarmed. Just seek him with your whole heart. Hallelujah. So look, we're looking at talking about, brother, 1 Kings. And so many times the people are messed up because of the leadership. And this is a lot of what went on in 1 Kings. The people became messed up because of Solomon. He started off good. And like his dad, he messed up. David messed up. And he messed up his house. David, remember, I remember David had many wives other than Bathsheba. So children by different women. They all wasn't from Bathsheba. And I don't know, as we read, we're going to find out if he taught them all the same. Now, I know he taught that boy Solomon well. We're going to get to read to hear what he told Solomon to do. And Solomon obeyed his dad and became the wisest man, I think they said, King Solomon. Yeah, David's boy. Hallelujah. So when we look at 1 Kings, the first half, a First King traces the life of Solomon. Yeah, it tell you about his life. You know, we know how he came, you know, along. That first boy passed away from Bathsheba. Then here comes Solomon, because David disobeyed God and killed Uriah, and God took that baby. Yeah. So it's going to tell about the traces of his life. Under his leadership, Israel rises to the peak of her size and glory. Oh, yeah, Israel was big to do under Solomon's reign. Solomon's great accomplishments, including the unsurpassed splendor of the temple which he constructs in Jerusalem, bring him worldwide fame and respect. Remember, God didn't allow David to build a temple. He said his hands was too bloody. So he allowed Solomon to build his house. However, Solomon's zeal for God diminishes in his later years as pagan wives turn his heart away from worship in the temple of God. Yeah, what we got to do is be careful. Leadership should be real careful, but many times they let their flesh reign more than the spirit that God put in them for his people. So Solomon liked all these different kind of women. Oh my goodness, if I'm not mistaken, 1,100 concubines, something like that. One man don't know what to do, if I'm honest, with one woman. One man many times don't know how to keep the one woman happy. I'm going to put it that way. Many times one woman can't keep one man happy. She can't keep him happy. How in the world can one man keep all these women? How in the world will one woman keep 1,100 husbands or 1,100 boyfriends? How in the world? He was off with his thinking right there. God bless Solomon. Because David taught him well. But he got hooked up with the wrong people. See, sometimes we can be around hanging out with the wrong people. We take the advice of the wrong people. We befriend these people that look like they hip. We befriend these people that look like they know about the things in the world. And we want to be a part of it. We become what they call curious. I want to know more about that. All that does is get you into trouble many times. Being curious many times will mess you up. You got to be careful what you're curious about. Careful what you want to know more of. I believe any time we want to know more of the word of God, it's going to bless us. If we want to know more about God, more about his son, it will bless us. But if we want to know more about the ways of the world, how to live like the world, how to become greedy, how to become hateful. Yeah. How to become uncaring, unkind. I seen them smoking this. I want to try that. I wonder if I smoke that, what that'll make me feel. If I take them kind of pills. No. We don't need to go there. No. Be curious about the things of God. These are good things. It's good for us. Anybody ever heard the commercial that says milk does a body good? The word of God does our hearts and minds, body and soul, good. The word of God. Sharper than any two-edged sword. What shouldn't be in you, it'll cut it out of you. Let you bleed it out, sew you back up. What needs to be in your heart. Yeah. And once you do all of that, if your heart begin to move some, God will regulate your heart. He'll fix your heart. He'll regulate your mind. Hallelujah. I'm thankful unto him. Yeah, that's just crazy that many women, no way one man is going to please and make happy 1,100 women. No way one woman is going to make 1,100 men happy. Now, they may hang around for whatever you got, but you're not making them happy. I can tell you that. And in there somewhere, they mind in another place. I don't know if I told you about the crazy song that the weak man wrote. Say, if you want to leave, go ahead, walk out the door. But remember, one monkey don't stop no show. This show gonna keep on, this boat or whatever it is gonna keep on rolling. Thank God life keep on going or something. But that's the talk of a weak man. Because guess what? It should have shown him. Instead of if you want to go going on and walk out the door, he should have considered this. I'm telling her to go out of here, but if I get the next one, I'm gonna do this. She gonna leave me too. Because somewhere in here, I haven't made her happy. Somewhere in here, I've been thinking of only me and not her. And the reason I know he was thinking of only himself, because he said, go ahead and walk on out the door. Remember, one monkey don't stop the show. Later on in the song, he talks about he got one that do this and one that do that and another one that do this. That's three women plus the one is unhappy getting ready to walk out the door. The one that lived evidently in the house with him, could have been his wife. And you know, she cooking and cleaning and doing all she can. And he fulfilling his obligation because he got these other people, he focused into them too, you see? So Solomon messed up. And when I tell you, he messed up really bad now. Because he became great. See, when God went to him and said, Solomon, what more can I do? Because David taught him well. And he was doing what was pleasing and acceptable unto the Lord. So God asked him, what else can I do for you, Solomon? He said, well, in other words, I don't want no more stuff and things. I just want more of you. That was the wisest thing he could have said. That was the wisest thing he could have ever done. Because if God had come to many of us, I might have would have said, well, Lord, I want you to heal the hearts and minds of my children. God, I want you to draw my children closer to you. Fix it, Lord, where they'll believe in you. You see? But Solomon said, I want more of you. That was a wise move. However, Solomon's zeal for God diminishes in his later years as pagan wives turn his heart away from worshiping in the temple of God, from going to the house of God. Now, Solomon, you know, just like your daddy David, you know we had a good time in the house of the Lord. You know, his strength in his house, his power in his house. You're going to get the fellowship with the saints. You're going to hear the word of God that will strengthen you more, give you more faith, because faith cometh by hearing the word of God. But he let these women, these pagan wives of his, turn him away. And as a result, the king with the divided heart leaves behind a divided kingdom. See, his heart divided now because he split between God and these pagan women. He liked the way all this looked. He liked the way it felt to him. And many men are destroyed for looks and likes and feelings, the wrong feelings. Many women are destroyed because of the likes and the feelings, the wrong feelings. I like the way it feels when Big John hold me. But I like the way it feels when I'm talking to Alan. Oh, I love the way Larry looks at me, you see? And then the next thing you know, you got one for the hug, one for the look, one for the conversation, one for this, one for that, one for the other. And I'm sure he just got all hooked up in there. I like these exotic looking women. Oh, where's she from? Brazil? Ooh, I like her skin tone. Hey, where's she from? Africa? Ooh, I like her hair texture. He just had something for all of them. That's why he gathered them all up like a flock or a herd or something and put them somewhere. He wasn't pleasing them women. No way. He just had them all gathered up like property. And I just like looking at it. Anybody like art? Because if you like art, you buy you some. Whether it be folk art, whether it be a Picasso, whatever kind it is. And if you can't afford all of that, you see something else that you like that's similar to art that you can afford. You buy a bunch of that. You have it all over your house. African-American people, they used to buy a lot of black art. They probably still do. Yeah, they buy a lot of black art. And they have it all in the bathroom, just everywhere. And that's the way Solomon was with these women. He just had all kind that he liked. He tickled me some days. Yeah. Oh, where's she from? Italy? Oh, she got long legs. Bring her on over. Let me see what color her hair is. Bring her on over here. Oh, where that one there from? Asia? Oh, I like her eyes. See her eyes? Oh, they different. They long. She got beautiful lashes. And look at her hair. It's just weaving and bowing in the wind. Hey, bring her on over here, too. Solomon was just messed up in his head, and none of these women went to the house of God to worship, not his God. And they kept him so busy and kept his mind on his flesh, so he couldn't get there. He stopped going. So he divided. The leader is divided. And guess what he do? He leaves the kingdom and leave the kingdom divided. It says, as a result, the king with a divided heart leaves behind a divided kingdom. For the next century, the book of 1 Kings traces the twin histories. There's two now of two sets of kings and two nations of disobedient people who are growing indifferent to God's prophets and contracts. It started with the head leader. It starts with leadership. Somebody say the oil flow down. Leaders must be careful. The day that they see their flesh is rearing up, acting up, coming up, stop it. Stop yourself. Say, ho, wait a minute. I know this is not right. Because how they know it's not right, it's not done in the public. It's done behind closed doors. Back in the day, a man could have as many wives as he chose as long as he could take care of these women. And a lot of them got all these women, but they wasn't able to take care of all of the women. Even his dad, David couldn't take all them concubines and all them wives he had. A lot of them went along because they could eat. Their children were provided for. I'm sure Abigail, Nahor, his wife that David married, I'm sure she was in that number. But God allowed them to have some wives. They could even have concubines if they could afford them. But physically, they was taking care of them as far as food and shelter and clothes and, you know, the things that women like. But emotionally, I know these men was not taking care of these women. I know that in their mind, they just settled. I've seen this program that was on TV where the man could have all these wives. What they call it, sister wives, something like that. And the women accept the other women. See, I'm a nut. I believe in one man and one woman. And I believe if you can't behave yourself and have your one man and have your one wife and one husband, I think you should sit down. Don't concern yourself about getting married. Because the minute the man don't do what you like, it's time to cheat. The minute the woman don't do what you like, it's time to look around and cheat. That is crazy. Go back and see if you can work it out. You're nobody father. And women, you're nobody mother. If you married a man, you became a wife. You became a helpmeet, not a mother. He had one of those. Men, if you got a wife, you're not her father. She had one of them. You don't have to control her, tell her what to do. Now, she's supposed to listen to you as long as you've given her godly advice and given her godly words of truth. But all that other stuff, nobody, I can't even talk about it right now. And women sometimes are, we're the weaker vessel, and sometimes we are just gullible. And anything a man tells us, especially if we love him, women go for it. If you open up the prison and interview all the women that went to prison because of a man, what he did, she covered him, or he told her to do it so that she would get in trouble and he would stay free. If you did interviews like that, my goodness alive, I don't know if they got enough pen and paper. I don't know if they have enough recording that you can record all of it. It's so much. But we're back to this leadership. We even got to be careful what leadership we set up under to lead us and guide us in the right path unto God. And for the sake of God, and to do what's pleasing and acceptable unto God. Because it says this now, for the next century, the book of First King traces the twin histories of two sets of kings and two nations of disobedience, people who are growing indifferent to God's prophets and concepts. See, today folk don't believe in the prophets. Some of them do, but a lot of them don't. And today some of them don't believe in the concept of God. In the beginning, he created the heaven and the earth. He said what he meant, and he meant what he said. In the New Testament, he brought his son on the scene with the prophets and the preachers, and they don't have no time for that. Yeah. They got their own thing. They think their own way. And some people done open up a church talking about old-time religion ain't no good, but it was good for your mama and daddy. It got you where you are today. My goodness. Solomon was born in Jerusalem, the second born child of David and his wife Bathsheba. Y'all remember that? Because that first boy, he had to go. Widow of Uriah the Hittite. The first child unnamed in that account. We never did know what the baby name was. A son conceived adulterously during Uriah's lifetime, had died as a punishment on account of the death of Uriah by David's order. So David killed Uriah. God took the baby. So they go on to talk about he died in 91 BCE at the age of 59, between 59 and 58 in Jerusalem. He was born in Jerusalem, in the United Kingdom. He was buried in Jerusalem. He lived in the house of David. We're talking about Solomon. And so what happened to Solomon's son? Solomon's son, a successor, Rehoboam, adopted a harsh policy towards the northern tribes, which succeeded and formed their own kingdom of Israel. This left the descendants of Solomon with the southern kingdom of Judah. You see, so much went on, and that this was separated from that, and this one came in, and they had their own, you know, concept, and they had their own thoughts, and nobody went back to the true concepts of God. Nobody went back to believe that God made man, and he called what he made good. And he set things in order so that if man followed these orders, he would be blessed. Nobody went back to that. Nobody went back to look at Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and he put them out in their garden. They had it made in the shade. They had it going on. They was all of that, but they disobeyed. And when you disobey, God separates. Sin is the devil's department. That's not God. Because God don't cause any man to sin. He don't cause any man to fall into temptation. He don't cause any man to be tempted. That's the flesh. And when the flesh falls into temptation, the enemy, the devil, will come in and help it to get further along into sin. Yes, it will. Yes, he will. So Adonijah was the fourth son of King David. And Adonijah's mother was Haggith, one of David's wives. See, he had a bunch of wives too. Oh boy, men. Adonijah is best known for his failure. And he failed. We're going to talk about that, but you're going to remember fail. You're going to get to see how he failed. See, another thing, let me mention this. If God is for us, he is more than the whole world against us. You can plot and plan for something and look like it's just coming to, oh boy, it's going to be a big to-do. And right before it, here come the fall. You fail because you're not the promise. You're not the promise. You're putting this together yourself, but God has promised this part to somebody else. We're going to get to see how he failed. Haggith is a biblical figure, one of David's wives, one of the wives of David. Her name means festive. Haggith is mentioned in 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 4, 1 Kings 1 and 2, 1 through 2, and 1 Chronicles 3 and 2. This is the wife of David, one of them. Had a bunch of wives. My goodness, David. Stop yourself. Please stop yourself. Yeah. It don't have to be like this, man. Yeah. You need a... pray more. Pray more. Pray more. In the place of them women, give God more. Your flesh get to talking to you, and especially if you in leadership. Your flesh talking to you, and you know when it's not God. You know that's not God. You already got a wife, and then he tell you, hey, look at Sandra. She got beautiful legs. Oh, and you know what? I never did notice Sandra hair. She got streaks in it. See, he giving you more and more. He get your flesh, it's no good. It's deceitful. Next thing you know, you over there talking to Sandra. Hey, how you doing, Sandra? Good to see you. Yeah. Ooh, that devil is a fool and a liar. And would make a fool and a liar out of us if we allow him to. So look, let's take a look now at 1 Kings, and we're going to chapter 1. And this is how it starts out. Now, King David was old and stricken in years. And they covered him with clothes, but he got no heat. He was old, well up in the years, and they covered him with clothes, you know, to make sure he had warm clothes on, may have doubled them up, you know. He had on long johns and everything, and t-shirts, and then his regular... But he just couldn't warm up. He just couldn't get warm enough. So in verse 2 of 1 Kings, the first chapter, it says, wherefore his servant said unto him, let there be salt for my lord, the king, a young virgin. Boy, they always got man. Man always got some foolishness. And let her stand before the king, and let her cherish him, and let her lie in thy bosom, that my lord the king may get heat. Never considered the virgin. Never considered she may say, who want to lay with this old man? Nobody want to be in here and be bothered with this right here. But they never said that. And they said, find somebody who cherished, a young virgin that cherished the king. See, she got to like him a whole bunch. Ah, oh, that flesh is something serious. In verse 3, it says, so they sought for a fair damsel throughout all the coast of Israel and found Abishag, a Shulamite, and brought her to the king. And the damsel was very fair and cherished the king and ministered to him, but the king knew her not. David was too old for that foolishness. Look, you see what they did? They found one that was very good looking, beautiful, and she cherished the king. Isn't that what they said up top? They got to get one who like him and who honor him, you know? And that's what they found, Abishag. Yeah, they found her, a Shulamite, they say. So look, and then it talks about, you know, and she ministered to the king, and but the king knew her not. Of course not. David was past all of that. God didn't promise him no more. He gave him children, gave him wives. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself. See here? This is what I'm saying when I say, you starting something. Oh, I'm going to do this. Never considered if God called somebody else to that. You just saw opportunity. You didn't wait on God. We got to wait on him. And those in leadership, you must wait on him and be led by him. Because if you're not, we're going to mess up everything. It won't just be two divided country. It'll be 500 of them. And we all from the same place. Yeah. So look, he exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. He putting his own army together. He putting his own kingdom together. Never considered his dad. Never considered David and who David was going to sign for king. Uh-uh. I told you, you talking about a soap opera. The stories. Check this out. In that sixth verse, it said, and his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, why hast thou done this? And he also was a very goodly man, and his mother bare him after Absalom. Look, David spoiled him. He never told him no. He never asked him, why you want to do this? Well, why should you? He never said nothing. Whatever this boy asked for, that's what he did, because he was born after Absalom. And if you remember Absalom, he hung himself by his hair in the tree because he was against his dad, who God had assigned to be king. Oh, they had some issues. But God told him it was going to be some problems in his house. He sent the prophet Nathan over there to tell David, oh, you done messed up. See, David started off messing up the kingdom when he messed around there and fooled around with Uriah's wife and then kill Uriah to take his wife. Yeah. And she getting ready to bear son from the king and married to Uriah. She couldn't do nothing about it. David was king. So look at this. He conferred with Joab, the son of Zariah, and with Abiathar, the priest. And they following Adonijah helped him. Now look at this. Joab and Abiathar, which was a priest, they started following Adonijah. And they helped him to bring himself out to let the people know that he was going to start his own kingdom. He was next to be king. In the eighth verse, it says, but Zadok, the priest, and Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, and Nathan, the prophet, and Shemael, and Re, and the mighty men which belonged to David were not with Adonijah. It said the mighty men, they belonged to David. They reverenced David as king. And they was not with this program that Adonijah was putting together what he was going to do. In verse 9, it says, and Adonijah slew sheep and oxen and fat cattle by the stone of Zahelah, which is by Enrogel, and called all his brethren the king's sons, and all the men of Judah the king's servants. Look now. He done went and got David people and brought them on over there. Y'all, come on. Come on and get your minds right, because y'all going to start worshiping me. I'm a self-made king. I appointed myself to the kingdom because my dad was the king, and I'm not considering nobody else. I'm next in line. Never considered an older brother. Nothing. Didn't know if David had a son even older than Solomon. He didn't care. Adonijah said, I'm going to be king. In the 10th verse, it says, but Nathan the prophet and Benaniah and the mighty men of Solomon, his brother, called not. You see, he didn't, the mighty men, he didn't call them over there. See, because his flesh and the devil already let him know, don't do that. Now you're messing up bad. Yeah. Because, see, he thought David was so old, David was going to die in a minute. And once he put this out there, people would just fall for him. Yeah. David gone. He can't say nothing about it or nothing. And he already got this out here. Anybody ever heard? I was first. I called it first. I said it first. I'm it. I did it first. Anybody ever heard anybody like that? But this is what Adonijah called himself doing. So he didn't call Nathan the prophet, Benaniah, the mighty men, and his brother Solomon. He didn't call them over there for the foolishness. 11 says, wherefore Nathan spake unto Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, hast thou not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, doeth reign, and David our Lord knoweth it not? So Nathan the prophet pulled Bathsheba over and said, hey, look here, you ain't heard what Adonijah doing? He said he gonna reign. And King David don't know nothing about it. Now there come, in verse 12, now therefore come, let me, I pray thee, give thee counsel that thou mayest save thine own life and the life of thy son Solomon. Hey, Bathsheba, come on, let me talk to you now. I'm begging you, listen to me. And if you listen to me now, it's going to save your life and the life of your son Solomon. 13 says, go and get thee in unto King David. And say unto him, didst not thou, my lord, O king, swear unto thine handmaid, saying, assuredly Solomon, thy son, shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon thine throne. Why then doeth Adonijah reign? Behold, while thou yet talkest there with the king, I will also come in after thee and confirm thy word. You go and tell King David this. And while you talking to him, I'm going to come in and confirm it. Because David knew Nathan the prophet was no joke. He knew after he killed Uriah, God sent Nathan the prophet to tell him about it. Yeah, and to tell him what would happen. But look, going on down to 15. And Bathsheba went in unto the king, into the chamber. And the king was very old, and Abishag, the Shulamite, ministered unto the king. She took care of him, you know, talked to him, all of that. 16 says, and Bathsheba bowed and did obeisance unto the king. And the king said, what wouldest thou? 17 says, and she said unto him, my lord, thou swearest by the Lord thy God unto thine handmaid, saying, assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon thine throne. 18 says, and now, behold, Adonijah reigneth, and now, my lord, the king, thou knowest it not. So she went in and told David what was going on. King David, hey, look, you said Solomon was going to be your successor. You said Solomon was going to be the next king. But how is it now that Adonijah out here doing all this stuff? He reigning, and you don't even know about it. 19 says this, and he hath slain oxen and fat cattle and sheep in abundance, and hath called all the sons of the king, and Abiathar the priest, and Joab the captain of the host. But Solomon thy servant hath he not called. See, he didn't call all of them. He only called this person and that person if he was for the right thing. In other words, you know, she telling the king. So 20 says, and thou, my lord, O king, the eyes of all Israel are upon thee, that thou shouldest tell them who shall sit on the throne of my lord, the king, after him. Honey, I need you to know that Israel looking at you and they don't know who to go with to be king after you. So we need you to let us know who the next king gonna be once you pass on. Yeah. So hold on. I gotta go to one quick song and we coming back and we're gonna finish up and everything. I love them Kings, and I love them Psalms. Yeah, all of that. All of that is good for us. It's good for us. So look, I'm going right here, and then we may not finish it because I'll be right back.
You've heard the words since you were in Sunday school. You have heard these professors remind you of them, both in words of warning as well as words of encouragement, and maybe even a few testimonies. A counselor, a friend, a minister of music, whatever capacity you'll serve in, on mission field or here at home, you'll use these two words. And they are, trust God. Two single syllable words that you have heard forever, but you will discover as time passes how difficult they are to obey. Trust God. Of course, I have no way of knowing what the future holds for you. You may lose your home and everything in a fire. You may lose your spouse to an early disease detected but not cured. You may lose your dreams, your hopes. You may lose a relationship that you have cultivated over the years. All losses are painful. And you will be brought back over and over again to the words of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. I know. You memorized them in Vacation Bible School or when you were growing up at the knee of a godly mother and or father. And your lips will move as I quote them, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. All your heart, all your ways, trust. Trust. Now we have a problem with this because of several things. First of all, we are too blame self-sufficient. We have learned how to get ourselves out of jams rather than acknowledging the jam has very well been either directed or permitted by our sovereign God to teach us. And by not trusting him, we short-circuit the test and go our own way, getting ourselves out of our own mess. We're too self-sufficient. Another reason we fail this test is because we're too quick to call on others. We have a lot of very capable friends. As life unfolds and you leave this school and you're involved in your church, your work of ministry, your realm of responsibility, you'll meet other people, many of them much smarter than you are, most of them richer than you are, better connected than you are, and some of them will become good friends, and they will become your crutch. They have connections. And when you're up against it, they'll get you through it. Another reason we don't trust is because we feel distant from the God of heaven. Don't feel too guilty about that. So did Job, as godly as he was. And yet Job said, in the midst of all of the loss, though he slay me, I will trust in him. Though he take me off this earth, in the process, I leave trusting him. I will trust him. The fourth reason I would name is that we have cultivated the bad habit of worry. Many of you are much better at worrying than you are at trusting. If you were to put together a worry list, it would outrun your prayer list. And you're worried right now about something. Most likely, it's related to something about your schoolwork. Some course, some class, some test. Or maybe your finances. You don't have enough money. I'll give you a word of encouragement. You'll never have enough money. So you're worried now, you're getting good at it, so you can carry that with you when you graduate, because you won't have enough money then. So you're worried about that. And you do not trust God. See how practical it is? And if you think you're going to outgrow the problem, take it from this old guy today, you won't ever outgrow it. It's like lust. You never outgrow lust. You just learn to fake it. I remember attending a Navigator conference when Lauren Sanney was president. We were at Glen Eyrie, and they had a returned missionary, I think 87, 88-year-old gentleman, who Lauren brought up to the platform, and he's a longtime navigator. And Lauren said, "Tell me, Dr. So-and-so, when did you conquer lust?" The old man said, "Well, Lauren, hasn't happened yet." You'll never conquer worry. It's part of the flesh.
Okay, so I let it play a little longer because some people like to hear that, and I agree with them. I like to hear it myself. But look, we're over in 1 Kings chapter 1, and we're looking at verse 21. And Bathsheba done went to David and told David what Adonijah got planned. He planned to be the next king without David's consent. David haven't assigned his successor yet, but Adonijah wanted the position. He wanted to be the next king, not considering nobody else. And we talked about Solomon and his later decisions with all these wives and pagan women that's not after his God. And he falls into a trap with all these women, and he himself stopped going to the temple of God. So we're looking at 21. "Otherwise it shall come to pass when my lord the king shall sleep with his fathers, that I and my son Solomon shall be counted offenders." So she's telling David, if you don't assign Solomon, who you said, and you swore before the Lord your God that you would make the next king, if you don't do this, me and Solomon going to fall into the hands of Adonijah. And we're going to be counted offenders. They're going to look at us as if we're against them. And in other words, they're looking at us as their enemies. And who got the power to destroy their enemies? Most times they'll destroy that enemy. Yeah. "And lo, while she yet talked with the king, Nathan the prophet also came in." Remember, he told Bathsheba, "Go talk to the king and tell him this. And while you're there telling him, I'm going to come and verify what you're saying. I'm coming and back you up, Bathsheba. You go ahead and tell the king." 23 says, "And they told the king, saying, Behold, Nathan the prophet. And when he was come in before the king, he bowed himself before the king with his face to the ground. And Nathan said, My lord, O king, hast thou said Adonijah shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne? So he asked David, Is this what you told Adonijah, that he was going to be the next king? 25 says, For he has gone down this day and has slain oxen and fat cattle and sheep in abundance. and have called all the king's sons and the captains of the host, and asked our priests, oh, they eat and drink before him and say, God save King Adonijah. So he come in and verified what Bathsheba was telling the king, and you know, he let him know what he was doing right now for this day. Verse 26 of 1 Kings chapter 1 says, but me, even me, that servant, and Zadok the priest, and Benaniah the son of Jehoiada, and that servant Solomon, has he not called? He didn't invite us. Yeah, he invited the mother ones, but he didn't invite us. The strong men, the mighty men, he didn't invite them. Is this thing done by my lord the king, and thou hast not showed it unto thy servant, who should sit on the throne of my lord the king after him? Did you approve this, King David? And you didn't tell your servants who should sit on your throne after you gone, in other words? And if you notice their words when they went to the king, if you notice their attitude, when you want something, you can't just go to authority any kind of way. You got to have a way of going to authority. So look, in verse 28, then King David answered and said, call me Bathsheba. And she came into the king's presence and stood before the king. In verse 29, it says, and the king sware and said, as the Lord liveth, that hath redeemed my soul out of all distress. 30 says, even as I swear unto thee by the Lord God of Israel, saying, assuredly, Solomon, thy son, shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne in my stead. Even so, I will certainly do this day. So after she went in the first time, Nathan the prophet come in and verified it. He called Bathsheba back, and now he telling Bathsheba, Solomon going to be my successor. Solomon going to be the next king. I'm going to take care of this day. Yeah, I'm going to do this now. Verse 31 says, then Bathsheba bowed her face to the earth and did reverence to the king and said, let my lord King David live forever. They had a way with them words. Yeah, they didn't just do it any kind of old way now. They had a way of doing things. So look, in verse 32, and King David said, call me Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaniah the son of Jehoiada. And they came before the king. The king also said unto them, take with you the servants of your lord, and call Solomon my son to ride upon mine own mule, and bring him down to Gihon. And let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him there king over Israel, and blow ye with the trumpet, and say, God save King Solomon. So what David told him to do, look, go out and put him on my horse. Bring him down from wherever he had over in Gihon. Bring him down, and let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him there king over Israel. And blow ye with the trumpet and say, God save King Solomon. So now David did it where everybody could see it. And Adonijah was sneaking over there doing some stuff. But the king brought it out in the open that Solomon would be the next king. 35 says, then ye shall come up after him, that he may come and sit upon my throne. For he shall be king in my stead. And I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and over Judah. And then Adonijah, the son of Jehoiada, answered the king and said, amen. The Lord God of my Lord, the king, say so too. Ooh-wee. 37 says, as the Lord has been with my Lord the king, even so be he with Solomon, and make his throne greater than the throne of my Lord King David. 38 says, so Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet and Benaniah the son of Jehoiada and the Cherethites and the Pelethites went down and caused Solomon to ride upon King David's mule and brought him to Gihon. And Zadok the priest took a horn of oil out of the tabernacle and anointed Solomon. And they blew the trumpet and all the people said, God save King Solomon. Don't put yourself in a position where you don't know that you should be there. Or you know you shouldn't be there, but you're going to try to pull it off anyway. God will pull the cover off of you. Yeah. So look, 40 says, and all the people came up after him. And the people piped with pipes and rejoiced with great joy, so that the earth rent with the sound of them. Boy, I'm sure the earth was shaking, so many of them. They blowing the horn and everything. They shouting, God save King Solomon. 41 said, and Antoniah and all the guests that were with him heard it as they had made an end of eating. And when Joab heard the sound of the trumpet, he said, wherefore is this noise of the city being in an uproar? See, he didn't even know what was going on. God had fixed that thing for Solomon and Bathsheba. And while he yet spake, behold, Jonathan, the son of Abithar, the priest, came. And Adonai said unto him, come in, for thou art a valiant man, and bringeth good tidings. See, he thought that he was coming to tell him some good news. Yeah, he thought he was coming to tell him some good news. God saved King Adonijah. But look what happened. 43 says, and Jonathan answered and said to Adoniah, barely our Lord King David has made Solomon king. Look at this. He done made him king, Adoniah. What you going to do now? And the king has sent with Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet and Benaniah the son of Jehoiada and the Cherethites and the Pelethites. And they have caused him to ride upon the king's mule. As Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet have anointed him king of Gihon. And they are come up from thence rejoicing, so that the city rang again. This is the noise that ye have heard. You're going to be king, Adonijah? You anointed yourself, but are you going to be king now? Yeah. See, when David killed Uriah, it just started all kind of stuff in his house. All kind of craziness, all kind of madness go on. The brother raped the sister, the cousin raped the sister. The brother killed all the brothers. Oh, just all kind of stuff went on. Got to be careful when we in leadership. We must be careful when God has placed us over a people. We got the instructions to follow God to get to be over the people. We must follow God and get instructions to stay and lead the people in the right direction. You can't think of your own concepts. You can't put your own stuff out there. A lot of people, even in the way that Jesus in the Morning presents, the format of it, a lot of people don't like it. She played too many songs. She talked too long. This, that, and the other. They got all kind of things they don't like about it. But when it's the concept of God, when I'm following the pattern of God, when I'm following what he put together, I got to stay there. I tried to change it. I can't do it. Because I'm thinking about what the people want. I can't give the people what they want. I got to do what God said to do for the people. Because see, too many now trying to bring God into the world. But we must bring the world into God. And we got to stand and we got to do it. We can't fall short to it. We can't be weak for it. We got to do it. Pray for strength. The Lord, I don't follow what the people want, but I give them what you want. I give them what you say they need. because that's a way to seem right to a man. But again, today, the end thereof is destruction. So we're moving along. And in verse 46, it says this. And also Solomon sitteth on the throne of the kingdom. Boy, look at here, Adonai. 47 says, and moreover, the king's servants came to bless our Lord, King David, saying, God make the name of Solomon better than thy name, and make his throne greater than thy throne. And the king bowed himself upon the bed. Woo! And also thus says the king, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which has given one to sit on my throne this day, mine eyes even seeing it. In other words, David was telling God, I thank you for giving me a successor. And I know he thanked him that it was his son that would succeed him. And Lord, make him better than I could ever be. Ooh, let him do much more concerning you, God. Let him follow your ways, your rules and regulations. Oh, yeah. So look. In 49, it says, and all the guests that were with Adonijah were afraid and rose up and went every man his way. All you can be in there doing wrong, you got a whole bunch of them with you. But when the hammer falls, everybody going to leave you. Nobody going to stand up with you and say, no, not Solomon. We done anointed, we done put Adonijah in the place of the king. Oh, we can't follow Solomon. They were scared, and they got up and went away and left him. 50 says, and Adonijah feared because of Solomon, and arose and went and caught hold on the horns of the altar. He done caught hold on the horns of the altar hanging there. I'm just going to kill myself because Solomon's going to kill me. I done moved ahead of him, going to take his place. See, show you, I knew he was supposed to be king, but I was going to do it first. So look, 51 says, and it was told Solomon, saying, behold, Adonijah feareth King Solomon. For lo, he hath caught hold on the horns of the altar, saying, let King Solomon swear unto me today that he will not slay his servant with the sword. Now all of a sudden you his servant. Now all of a sudden you want mercy. You want pity. You want grace. 52 says, and Solomon said, if he will show himself a worthy man, there should not an hair of him fall to the earth. But if wickedness shall be found in him, he should die. Look at Solomon. David taught him well. He knew that Adonijah was his enemy, but he wouldn't touch him. He knew that if the shoe had been on the other foot, Solomon and Bathsheba, his mother, would have died at the hand of Adonijah with the sword. Or they'd have killed both of them. Because, see, Solomon was born king. He was David's first son. And again, David trained him well concerning the things of God. Taught him how to fear God. Taught him how to have faith and trust God. Yeah. 53 says, so King Solomon sent, and they brought him down from the altar. And he came and bowed himself to King Solomon. And Solomon said unto him, go to thine house. I know he didn't like it. But he let him down, and he didn't kill him. So look, we're looking at 1 Kings chapter 2. And we're looking at the first verse. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon, his son, saying, told you he taught him well. Even on his deathbed, listen what he said. I go the way of all the earth. Excuse me. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. I'm leaving here. I'm dying. I won't be back. Go the way of all the earth. But be strong, therefore, and show yourself a man. Don't be weak like I was. Don't kill another man and take his wife. Show yourself a real man. Be strong. In verse 3 it says, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God. Hey, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimony, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and whithersoever thou turneth thyself. If you keep the charge of the Lord thy God, if you keep his ways and his statutes, commandments and judgments and testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. If you keep these books, you keep this word, you walk accordingly, you're going to prosper in all that you do, and whithersoever you go, you're going to turn yourself to do what's right. Taught him well. Number 4 says that the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. If your children do what I told you they should do, if they follow my rules and regulations, they're going to be blessed. And even the man that sit on the throne as king or president, he's going to be blessed. But he must obey me. He must stay connected to me. He must remember my statutes, my commandments, my judgments, my testimony, as it's written in my word. If we train our children in the way that they should go, when they get old, they won't depart. But every now and then, we go back and we remind them, this is the word of the Lord. God is real. He sleep not slumber. His eyes are in every place. He's beholding the evil and the good. Yeah. And it's already all right. Verse 5 says, moreover, thou knowest also what Joab, the son of Zeruiah, did to me, and what he did to the two captains of the host of Israel, unto Abner the son of Ner, and unto Amasa the son of Jesse, whom he slew and shed the blood of war in peace, and put the blood of war upon the griddle that was about his loins and in his shoes that were on his feet. See, all doing this right here, David had some enemies, in-house enemies, and they came out against him. Some of them helped Absalom against him. Absalom locked down David's house, took over the palace, going with his wives and his concubines, or was it his concubines, I think he went with, to show all Israel, to show all Judah, who was now king. David fled for his life. Oh, but God brought him back. What God has for you today, it is for you. Folk can try to succeed you. Folk can try to take your place, but they can't. Some way, somehow, God going to bring you back in where you're supposed to be. I'm sure Solomon wasn't even thinking about all of that particular day. He was the king's son. He was taught well. He was the queen Bathsheba's son. So in his heart, I'm sure he just knew anyway he was going to be the next successor. Plus the mother most likely told him, your dad said when he go on, you know, you're next in line. Yeah. But the dad, David, had some enemies in there. Oh, yeah. So verse 6 says, do therefore according to thy wisdom, and let not his hoar head go down to the grave in peace. Look, do what's right, do what's wise, And don't let your enemies go down in peace. Don't let them die in peace. You give them something they can feel, Solomon. Verse 7 says, but show kindness unto the sons of Brazil and Gileadite, and let them be of those that eat at my table, at thy table. For so they came to me when I fled because of Absalom, thy brother. Didn't I tell you? Yeah. Absalom caused a lot of enemies. And many more things happened, but the Nathan the prophet had already told David it was going to always be trouble in your house because of what you done done. Yeah. And 8 says, and behold, thou hast with thee Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, a Bahurim, which cursed cursed me with a grievous curse in the day when I went to Mahanaim. But he came down to meet me at Jordan, and I swear to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put thee to death with the sword. I told you he had a lot of enemies. He had a lot of people against him. And see, that's just like the day too. Some things the president may have that's right, but the people don't like it. The president may have what we call snake in the grass. You got people laughing in his face, but behind his back, they got the dagger in it. But what you got to do is know that God put you in that seat. And you got to charge to God, not to man. You'll never be able to please man. But if you sell out to God with your whole heart this morning, you can please God. If you desire to do what's pleasing to him, if you desire to do what God can accept, you can please God today, but you'll never please man. In our lives, our personal lives, not as leaders, we're going to have some enemies. Some people not going to like you because of the color you have. They're not going to like you because of the style of your hair. Some people won't like you because you wear glasses. Some people won't like you because you're older. Some people won't like you because of your style of clothes. Some people won't like you because you're related to somebody. And there's always that demon who don't like you because they just don't like you. No reasoning, no excuse why I just don't like you. So you're going to always have those enemies. But our charge is to stand on the word of God and obey what his word says. He said, love your enemies. Pray for them that despitefully use you. The main thing is to trust God in it all. And everything, it's because it's his will. If he allowed this, it's his will. And not our will be done, but his will be done. Hallelujah. And it's already all right. So look. We're looking at 9. Now therefore hold him not guiltless, but thou art a wise man and knoweth what thou oughtest to do unto him. But his hoar head bring thou down to the grave with blood. So David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. And the days that David reigned over Israel were 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron, and 33 years reigned he in Jerusalem. Then sat Solomon upon the throne of David in verse 12 of 1 Kings chapter 2. We're down to verse 12. Then sat Solomon upon the throne of David, his father, and his kingdom was established greatly. He on the throne, and everybody accepted him, and he's now in place as king. And Adonijah, the son of Haggith, came to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon. And she said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably. She asked him, are you coming peaceably? Are you coming with some mess? Because I know you're messy. He said, I come peaceably. He said, moreover, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And she said, say on. And he said, thou knowest that the kingdom was mine, and that all Israel set their faces on me, that I should reign. Howbeit, the kingdom is turned about and is become my brother's, for it was his from the Lord. And now I ask one petition of thee, deny me not. And she said unto him, say on. He had some nerve, didn't he? And he said, speak, I pray thee, unto Solomon the king, for he will not say thee nay, that he give me Abishag the Shulamite to wife. And Bathsheba said, well, I will speak with thee unto the king. Bathsheba therefore went unto King Solomon to speak unto him for Adonijah. And the king rose up to meet her and bowed himself unto her and sat down on his throne and caused the seat to be set for the king's mother. And she sat on his right hand. You see all of that? Boy, they had a way with words. They had a way with behavior. She was queen. He was king now. But this is mother. So when she go in to talk to him about Adonijah's petition, he come and he bow himself to her. And then he get a place on the right hand of him for his mother to sit. Then she said, I desire one small petition of thee. I pray thee, say me not nay. And the king said unto her, ask on, my mother, for I will not say thee nay. And she said, let Abishag the Shulamite be given to Adonijah, thy brother, to wife. And King Solomon answered and said unto his mother, and why doest thou ask Abishag the Shulamite for Adonijah? Ask for him the kingdom also, for he is mine elder brother, even for him and for Abithar the priest and Joab the son of Zeruiah. So in other words, he telling her, you coming and asking this for him, he my enemy. If you're going to ask for Abishag the Shulamite, are you going to ask for the kingdom too? For he is mine older brother, even for him, and for Abithar, the priest, and Joab, the son of Zeruiah. These my enemies, mama. And you want me to be good to these people? Mama, had you, Nathan the prophet, not told you what to do, we would be dead by now. And you coming to ask for something on his behalf. So 23 says, then King Solomon swear by the Lord, saying, God, do so to me and more also, if Adonijah have not spoken this word against his own life. Now therefore, as the Lord liveth, which has established me and set me on the throne of David, my father, and who has made me an house, as he promised, Adonijah shall be put to death this day. Then he tell Adonijah, if you present yourself as a good man, you shall live. But if I find evil in you, Adonijah, you good as dead. He done push the king mama, the queen, to go up there and ask for some foolishness. And Solomon done got upset. And I see his point of view. Had the shoe been on the other foot, mama, we would have been dead. How can you come and ask for anything from my enemy of me? Yeah, I told you, it's a little better than the soap operas because it's true. The soaps, they put them together. This actually happened. So look, 25 says, and King Solomon sent by the hand of Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada. And he fell upon him that he died. He killed old Adonijah. He put him on out of his misery. And unto Abathar the priest said the king, get thee to Anathoth, unto thine own field, but thou art worthy of death. But I will not at this time put thee to death, because thou bearest the ark of the Lord God before David my father, and because thou hast been afflicted and all wherein my father was afflicted. You deserve death. And I need you to get on over there to the way you're supposed to be over there to that field and mind your business. Because you deserve death. And I'm not going to put you to death at this time. He didn't say later he wouldn't kill him. He said, right now, I'm not going to kill you. Because you bear the ark of the Lord God before David, my father, and because thou hast been afflicted and all wherein my father was afflicted. What my father went through, you was right there with him going through. So I'm not going to kill you today. But I'm going to need you to get on away from me. Go on over there to Anathoth now. Because if you stay hanging over here any day now, you could lose your life. Because I might think on it and decide to go and take you out today. Yeah. 27 says, so Solomon thrust out Abiathar from being priest unto the Lord, that he might fulfill the word of the Lord, which he spake concerning the house of Eli in Shiloh. See, God had spoken some things. God had told him some things. And David had many enemies. David had gone through some things. Even before Solomon, way before Solomon, David had to run for his life. He always kept him some enemies. Yeah. King Saul became his enemy. He didn't have nothing in his heart for Saul but good. But Saul wanted him dead. And one reason why Saul wanted him dead, Saul was jealous of him. I'm talking about real jealous of David. At one point, they had to send for David to come and play the harp, because it was the only way to get them evil spirits off Solomon. When he would hear David play the harp, he would calm down. Then David stopped playing the harp, and after a while, them evil spirits come back and use Saul and use them against David. Yeah. So, look, then tidings came to Joab, and Joab had turned after Adonijah. Though he turned not after Absalom, and Joab fled unto the tabernacle of the Lord and caught hold of the horns of the altar. Yeah. So Joab was in it too now. Hey. And it was told King Solomon that Joab was fled unto the tabernacle of the Lord. And behold, he is by the altar. Then Solomon sent for Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, saying, go, fall upon him. Woo-wee. So now Joab finna get his just due. And Benaniah came to the tabernacle of the Lord in verse 30 and said unto him, thus said the king, come forth. And he said, nay, but I will die here. And Benaniah brought the king word again, saying, thus said Joab, and thus he answered me. He went back and told Solomon. Joab said, no, he can't come down because you're going to kill him. I told him what you said. 31 said, and the king said unto him, do as he hath said, and fall upon him and bury him, that thou mayest take away the innocent blood which Joab shed from me and from the house of my father. Yeah, Joab was a hot mess over there. He was something serious. 32 says, and the Lord shall return his blood upon his own head, who fell upon two men more righteous and better than he, and slew them with the sword, my father David, not knowing thereof, to wit, Abner, the son of Ner, captain of the host of Israel, and Amasa, the son of Jephthah, captain of the host of Judah. Their blood shall therefore return upon the head of Joab and upon the head of his seed forever, but upon David and upon his seed and upon his house and upon his throne shall there be peace forever from the Lord. So Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, went up and fell upon him and slew him, and he was buried in his own house in the wilderness. And the king put Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, in his room over the host. And Zadok the priest did the king put in the room of Abiathar. He assigned them positions. And the king sent and called for Shimei and said unto him, build thee an house in Jerusalem and dwell there, and go not forth thence any whither. Don't go nowhere. Go build your house, stay here in Jerusalem, and don't go nowhere. For it shall be that on the day thou goest out and passest over the brook Kidron, thou shalt know for certain that thou shalt surely die. That blood shall be upon thine own head. Don't leave here. You go out there, they're going to kill you. 38 says, and Shimei said unto the king, the saying is good, as my lord the king has said, so will thy servant do. And Shimei dwelt in Jerusalem many days. And it came to pass at the end of 3 years that two of the servants of Shimei ran away unto Achish, son of Maachah, king of Gath. And they told Shimei, saying, behold, thy servants be in Gath. And Shimei arose and saddled his ass and went to Gath, to Achish, to seek his servants. And Shimei went and brought his servants from Gath. And it was told Solomon that Shimei had gone from Jerusalem to Gath and was come again. And the king sent and called for Shimei and said unto him, did I not make thee to swear by the Lord and protested unto thee, saying, know for certain on the day that thou goest out and walkest abroad any weather that thou shalt surely die. And thou saidest unto me, the word that I have heard is good. Oh my goodness. Why then hast thou not kept the oath of the Lord and the commandments that I have charged with thee? The king said moreover to Shimei, thou knowest all the wickedness which thine heart is privately to, that thou didst to David my father. Therefore the Lord shall return thy wickedness upon thine own head. And King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever. So the king commanded Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, which went out and fell upon him, that he died. And the kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon. He had to get rid of some enemies. Sometime we got to get rid of them enemies. Sometime I've been listening to Al Green's old album a long time, but it's become an enemy. I got to get rid of it. Sometime I've been riding folks to and from work. They're not from me. Whatever we talk about, they take it back to the supervisor on the job. I got to get rid of them. They can't ride in my car no more. I can't associate them more. We used to eat lunch in the lunchroom. Now I'm eating lunch somewhere else because I just can't be around them. So I'm getting rid of all of my enemies so that I can be established. And I can live my life a little bit better. That's less trauma. That's less trouble. That's less drama in my life to get rid of these enemies, because a lot of them don't have no good in them. And the devil will use who and whatever he can, when and however he want to. But this has given us some foundation on King Solomon. Yeah. This telling about his life. He wasn't that firstborn of David. He was the secondborn. Because the firstborn born, he didn't have a name. They never mentioned his name. Because he died, God allowed the baby to go on because David had killed Uriah and taken his wife. That's all he had. And the military, and he fought for David. So that was David punishment. And every now and then, I know that thing come back, used to come back to him, and he would remember what he had done. Although he repented, I know he remembered what he had done. And he said he was a bloody man. His hands was bloody. And God even told him, can't let you build the temple, David. Your hands too bloody. But we get to see in here What God have for you is for you. And when God get through, he will allow you to get rid of your own enemies. So fret not thyself because of evildoers. Don't fret yourself because of what folks done did against you. Pray for them. Treat them right. Keep going. You're going to see God show up on the scene. And he's going to give you the power to get rid of your own enemies. On that job where you just a worker like the one you've been given the ride to and from work. And everything you talk to him about, he go back and tell it on the job. Tell the supervisor. One day God going to give you the power to fire him. Huh? What you say, Bobby? Yeah. God will give you the power to fire them. Get up out of here. I fired you out my car. I put you out of there. Now I'm putting you off the job altogether. They're so embarrassed they can't get in touch with nobody else because they're afraid that the people are going to ask them, well, what that was all about? And they don't want to say, well, I was going back telling all his business on the job, telling his business to the supervisor. No, they don't want to do that. So they just lose contact with everybody on the job. Every now and then somebody will come through on the job and say, you know, I seen old Joe over there the other day. I was over at Sam's and I saw Joe. He was ducking and hiding. What God has for you, it is for you. And folks can try to put themselves before you if they want to. They can promote them on the job if they want to. But when you look around, they fire. God have all power, not some of it, all power. And if we walk up right before him, guess what? He in the blessing business. Did you see what David told his son? He made sure that Solomon knew about God. Look here, Solomon. Keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways. Keep his statutes and commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses. In other words, what's in the scriptures here? That thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself, wherever you go. That the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me. He told me what he was going to do for my children. If thy children take heed to their way to walk before me into... Look here, this is why I taught mine about God. This is why I took them to church. And this is why I led them to the Lord. Babies, I led them to the Lord. Because I knew they could not make it in this world without him. Now, they can grow up and do anything they're big enough to do. They can hate me. They can not like me. They can cuss me out. They can not come to see me, not give me nothing. I don't care about all of that. I gave you what you needed. And there's a day coming when you're going to have to go to the Lord for yourself, whether it be while you're free or on your dying bed and you're going to get up out of here. One way or another, you're going to have to go to God and get it right. Because one thing about it, you said I do at the altar. And I learned this. He is married to the backside. Oh, yes, he is. I don't care how far back you back up, how far back you go. God is married to the backslide. And we got to see right here. He said in his word to come, sit right here. Look here. I'll make your enemies your footstool. Because in this day and age, you're going to have some folk don't like you. They don't like you because of the way you look. They don't like you because you stand for God. They don't like you because they don't see an evil spirit on you. That spirit they see on you is a good, kind, peaceful spirit from God because you got a spirit living in you. They don't like you. So they run around. Even family members will do you dirty. You got this one, you just trusting them and telling them everything and what's happening in your house, he go back or she go back and tell all the family. and one of them good cousins that you grew up with that really love you, come and let you know. Don't tell so-and-so and nothing else. Because everything you tell them, he coming back or she coming back telling the family. What? Yeah. So you know I ain't lying. He or she came and told the family, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Ain't no way we would have known that, but he told us or she told us. Now you got to put them on away from you, and eventually God will bless you to fire your relatives. He'll give you the last word over them. They may have to go on the ventilator. They may have to go on the breathing machine because they're not breathing on their own. And you'll be the person have to give the last word on them, whether they live or die. They may need you to co-sign for them. And what they need you to co-sign, their lives kind of dependent on it. It's going to determine the next move of their life, if they're going up or down. And you got the power. Why? God getting rid of all of your enemies. Yeah. He putting them on down the road. So this is what Solomon was faced with. But David trained him well. And he knew what to do. Yeah, he knew what to do. Yeah. Told him, don't leave there. Don't leave here. Go on and build your house and stay in it. Don't ever leave here. Because if you leave here, you might die. And that's what he told him. But his servant went somewhere else, and he decided to go over there. Since somebody told him where the servants were, he decided to go over there and save his servant. Go get him and bring him back. And it cost him his life. Warning come before destruction for all of us. If God says don't do something, don't do it. Please don't do it. Because if we do it, destruction is coming. And again this morning, what God have for you, it is for you. Don't let nobody trick you. Don't let nobody fool you. Though it tarry, wait for it. And we all going to have enemies. God said the world hated him, they'll hate you too. But he overcame. He was an overcomer, and so are we. We can overcome these things. Because our mind is on him. My mind is not on what you did to me. Or what you think you're doing to me or going to do to me. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. Do what you got to do now. But God is going to protect me. And there's a day coming. He's going to let me separate from you. And the next step, he going to give me concern over you. I'll be the one have the last word over you. Or she won't have the last word over me. I live in Milwaukee. She live in Florida. God will give me the last word over you. He'll give you the last word over your enemies. And if they're not careful, you'll be the one that put them to death. God is no joke, and he does not play. Hallelujah. Listen, we're going to one more song of the morning, and when we come back, the studio is open. If anyone has something they would like to say, add a point, I may have missed something that you thought about, please feel free to share it with us this morning.
I love to pray.
people. Hallelujah, Bishop Ellis, and prayer will fix it every time. And this is where we got to be, in prayer, in prayer. Praying for peace between Russia and the Ukraine. Praying for peace between Russia and everybody. Yeah, because this is what we need to do. Yeah, we need to pray. It'll fix it. It'll fix it. If enough of us get together and pray, it will fix it. And even if God allow it to go on, he will allow it to go on in a way where we are blessed, the ones who was praying for peace. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, I have a card here, and I just had to read this card. I got it for my birthday. And it's such a beautiful card. And I just like it a whole lot. And it says, God made you so special. That's what the front of the card say. And the warmth in your words, the strength in your spirit, the kindness in your smile. Dear Barbara, celebrating you and the things that make you more wonderful each year. Happy birthday. Barbara, God bless you. Enjoy your day with love. Dot Goodman. The scripture is Numbers 6:24. The Lord bless you and keep you. Hallelujah. What a beautiful card. Yeah. I saw it and got all kind of excited. So that, yeah, I love that card. I guess she was like, well, this is just a card. Is it all that amazing? Yes. Yes, most definitely. Because see, what I realize is this. People don't owe me nothing. Not one thing does people owe me. But yet God used people to bless me. And if you think I'm crazy, not when it comes to people giving to me. I'm grateful. I'm thankful. Some things I don't tell everything because I figure some people don't want their business in the street, but I sure would like to tell it all. And if you give me permission, I would tell it all. Because that's a blessing unto me. God used you to bless me. And I know it's not just a one-fold blessing, but I know if he used you to bless me, he's going to bless you. and somebody give you something, that should be exciting. Yeah. I got the purse. Oh, my goodness. And she gave me two of these, I call them moo-moo dresses, big and comfortable. One of them is old and beautiful orange. That's my favorite color. I said, now the Lord led Nita in buying these gifts for me. Ain't no way Nita just went in there and picked that out on her own. God led her and what to get for me that I like. I got the card, and I was overjoyed by the card. I wasn't really looking for nothing in the card. I saw the card, and it was beautiful. The next thing I know, they say, check your email. I checked my email. A gift card came with the card. I didn't know that. But I thank God for it. I thank God for every gift this year. Every word of encouragement. My cousins from Georgia. Happy birthday, cuz. God bless your day. And I know they meant it. See, you know the difference when people mean what they say to you. And you know the difference when it's just something they said to pacify, to get on by. So they won't look like they don't like you. When deep in their heart, they don't care for you. Deep in their heart, they could care less about you. And people are this way. As long as they get what they want from you, they'll give you the world. Let me go to prophesying and get deep. Let me go to prophesying and get all up in there what you really want to know about and watch what they do. I wouldn't have to ask for nothing. They'll just shovel it out. Some people come and give me their house note money, all kind of stuff. I'm just telling you. Because they're hearing what they want to hear. But let me tell you this. Just be a giver. God loves a cheerful giver. Whether you hear what you want or not, be a cheerful giver. Give to strangers. For some have entertained angels unaware. I don't know if I told everybody because we may have some new people, but I had a bank bag. Well, I had gotten $10,000 and I had spent it down to three. And I had $3,000 in the bank bag, and I don't know why I was carrying the bank bag around with me instead of putting the money in the bank, y'all. Don't ask, and I can't tell you. And I was married during the time, so my ex-husband and I, and my youngest son, he was the baby during that time. And we get the rest of the children off to school, and we get him, and we go to McDonald's for breakfast. Well, we ate our breakfast, and I said, let's go by my old neighborhood. It's been a while since I rode through there, because I'm that way. I go through the old neighborhood looking, see if anything new, and I see any of the old-timers, stuff like that. So we went to the old neighborhood store, a store that they called Ransom, and the man who owned it, his name was Mr. Ransom. So I go in there, and I buy a beer. A 16-ounce Budweiser. My husband was looking at me like I was crazy because I don't drink. So he said, oh, what you bought that for? Something to drink it. And we went on. Well, we was riding on off from the store, and I said, you know what? Did you see where I put the bank bag? He said, no. I said, I don't remember where I put it. And he started looking through the car. I'm driving. I don't see no bank bag. I said, well, I got to backtrack. Went back to the McDonald's. He looking in the garbage can at the McDonald's where we threw our trash. I'm tearing the car up. A man come up. He was a white man. And he said, ma'am, he said, I've been traveling for 3 days. Listen to this. I've been traveling for 3 days. He said, and I haven't eaten anything. He said, and I was wondering if you could give me a little change. Let me get me something to eat. This was the cleanest man I ever saw. I'm talking about clean, health intact. Well, I'm tearing the car up because I'm looking for my $3,000 in the bank bag. You know, I ain't really got time to fool with him. So between the car seat, there's a console. I had an Audi. I think it was a 1986 Audi, 85. I opened the console, and there was a $10 bill in there, because that's what we used to keep, a little change and, you know, fruit dollars. And so I handed him the $10 bill, and it loosed my hand, and I turned around to look back in the car, and I thought about it right quick. $10? He said a little change. When I turned to look, he was gone. I looked up and down the streets. I looked everywhere. And then I yelled at my ex-husband. I said, "Hey, Billy Mays, what?" I said, "What did you see which way that man went?" He said, "What man?" I said, "The man I was just talking to." He said, "I ain't see no man over there with you. Nobody was over there but you tearing up that car." I said, "What? I know I just gave that man $10. Well, look. Twist the console that's built in, what we call the glove box. Twist that. I done looked everywhere but the glove box. When I twist the knob on the glove box, the bank bag fall out." No, we had looked in there. Yeah, I take that back. We had looked in there, but we didn't see it. So I yelled over there at him. I said, "Billy Mack, I got it." "Oh, okay. I'm tired of looking in this garbage," or whatever you said, you know. And he started walking back towards me. And I said, "You really didn't see me talking to a man." He said, "No, I ain't nobody was over him with you the whole time." He said, "Because I was watching you over here tearing up the car because, you know, it's right here to the street. And I didn't want nobody to just walk up on you and, you know, do something to you or something. We in that kind of hood." So he said, "I was just watching it, you know, and looking in this trash." And the way he was turned, he didn't have his back to me. He was facing me. He said, "But I never saw a man talking to you." Well, I went on. Later on, the Lord showed me, "Be careful, for some have entertained angels unaware." Because the man told me, "I want to get something to eat. I want drink and drug with your money. I want food." And the Lord let me know that was the angel of the Lord. I had a fit. You hear me? I'm in the presence of the angel of the Lord. So we have to be careful. Love one another. I don't care if they're from the AME Methodist Church. They say they believe in Jesus. That's your brother or your sister in Christ. Yeah. I don't care if they're a member of the Pentecostal Church, as they call it, members. That's your brother, your sister in Christ. They believe in God. Let's love them. Because in all of this, this is the will of Christ Jesus concerning us. Listen, his will is going to be done, and we should want it to be done. A lot of times, it's not going to be done in the way that we want it. Things that God is not going to fix it the way you want it fixed. He's going to fix it in a way where it would never be broke again. He's going to fix it in a way where it works better for you. And what God has for you this morning, with a war, no war, hair raising on the job, hair raising at home, it does not matter. What God has for you is for you. You're going to have enemies, but you love them and you pray for them. Folk going to come to use you. Folk come all the time to try to get the best of me because they know I'm a giver. They hear me telling it. I'm coming from all kind of places. And on Facebook and anywhere, if they're from another country and they're asking for gift cards, don't do it. Facebook taught me that. Don't give gift cards. Don't give money. Don't give your personal information away if they're a stranger. Try not to message with them if you can help it, because they tell me what people doing is duplicating your pages. And they'll come on there asking for money. I remember when I first went to Instagram, the girl that used to work for me at Jesus in the Morning confectionery store, she said, told her daughter, "Hey, tell Miss Mac I'm going and send her that money to Western Union right now." So I asked the daughter, I said, "What money?" "You sent a message that you were stranded in somewhere. I don't know if it was New York or where they said I was stranded. And they needed you to send them, you needed us to send you some money." I said, I'm not in New York, babe. I'm home. I'm in Florida. They was like, what, Ms. Mack? Somebody done duplicated your page, and they sending out money, asking for money. I said, don't give no money to nobody. I'm not asking nobody for no money. So I put a big sign on my page that said, people asking for money, it's not me. Don't give no money. It went away. So we want to be careful. But know this, even in that, if they have scammed you before, pray for them and love them anyway. Because God going to get, you going to show you how to get rid of your enemy. And then you'll have the last word over them. Watch yourself now. You will have the last word. Oh, no, Barbara, they're in another country. You will have the last word over them. Ask Solomon. Go back and take a look over in the second chapter of First Kings and see what happened to Solomon. He got the chance to, even the one that started the foolishness, even the ones who done did something to his daddy, he got the opportunity to get rid of them forever. They could have did something to your family. Don't hate them. Pray for them. One day, you will have the last word over them. I know this man. Listen. He said he was a bishop. And another bishop, he had a following. And the older people in the church would give him the deeds to their house. They would make him their beneficiary, their power of attorney. But the man who the following of people was doing this to, he was no crook. He wasn't no crook. He was doing his duties as a pastor, as a bishop, and the people trust him. And I believe he tried to carry it out to the letter. But this other bishop come and was supposed to be learning from him. He found out people will leave you their house. People will make you their beneficiary. People will make you their power of attorney. Honey, he started getting with older ladies. He was an older man in his 50s. But he would start hanging around, you know, women in their 70s, late 70s, early 80s, early 90s, all like this, who had a house. You know, no children, all the children passed away. They was living. They didn't have no immediate family. So that when these women died, they would leave him the insurance. They would leave him the house and everything. He did it to this one lady. And he didn't think the lady had no relatives left. All of a sudden, a niece showed up from up north. Put him out that house and took her aunt's stuff back. Got them time to shut the bank account down and everything. Do y'all hear me? You got all kind of people out here with all kind of motives. And they're not the right motives for you. We watch as well as pray. And it's a sad person that can always take but can never give you nothing. Not even a prayer. Because some preachers ain't got time to pray with you. Now they so busy, but if you say, hey, look here, I got $10,000 for you. Whatever that was they was busy with, it get on the back burner all of a sudden because money is involved. Pray for yourself. Pray and ask God to cover you in his blood. Pray and ask God to cover you because you got some enemies and don't even know it. Yeah, I want to share that this morning. Everything grin in your face, laugh in your face, and tell you how much they love you and care for you, it's not always true. Sometimes folk have motives. Yeah, be careful. And we're praying for them. We're praying for them. Because they know not what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. They think they're doing something and getting away. God is not asleep, and he will give you charge over your enemies. Yes, he will. Solomon showed me that. So tomorrow we're going to try to get to chapter 3. And I'm going back today to try to look because it's one of those passages in there. I want to tell you what happened that brought this about. Because look, you think the soaps were something. The stories, we used to call it back in the day. Ooh, that Bible. Ooh, that Bible. Do you see this right here? When Bathsheba went to him on behalf of Adonijah. Did you see what he told her? Mama, how you going to come to me? Mama, come on now. I can hear my son telling me this. Mama, I know you love people, but Mama, these people are our enemies. And if the shoe was on the other foot, Mama, me and you both would be dead. I can't do nothing to help them. It's not that I hate them or anything, but Mama, anything I do to help them, they're going to use it against me and you. I can't do it. So now you want me to give him the kingdom? Yeah. See, he done went to the mama to trick her. Yeah. Talking about he wanted the shooter might want her. We're not with that program now. We with another program. Listen, want to say good morning to everybody as well. The studio is open. If anyone has something they would like to say this morning, feel free to press that number one. I know it's not a powerhouse, shout it down message. But today, if we look at 1 Kings, and we go back and take a look at David, go back and look at Abraham, we're going to get to these books. Yeah. And we're going to learn together. We're going to talk together if you're willing. Hallelujah. All it's going to do is do you good if you can stay awake and listen. Because I know some people use it because it's soothing. And I'm going to sleep while I should talk it. Uh-huh. And it's all right today. If you need the rest, and this way you get rest, it's okay. Good morning to you, Sister Dorothy Goodman, Sister Mary Ann. And God bless you, Sister Mary Ann. Thank you so much for the birthday wishes. Good morning to you, Sister Rose Brown and Sister Samoa. Sister Simone, Sister Melody Rose, Sister Angela in California. Sister Laura, the God baby, thank you for the beautiful wishes. And God bless you this morning. And Mr. Mason and Miss Deborah, God bless you. Thank you, Sister Dot, for the birthday wishes, the card, the gift card. God bless you, woman. God bless you. Good morning to you, Sister Alexis and Sister Lachelle, Sister Andrea Spinner. I didn't see her here today. She may have to work or something. Sister Andrea in Philadelphia, Sister Keisha, Sister Rita, Sister Sion, Sister Diane, Sister Jared, Sister Angela Foote. Thank you for the best wishes. God bless you. Good morning to you, Sister Annie Lee Foote. Good morning to you, Sister Kim Hawks. Good morning to you, Sister Yvonne, Sister Lisa, Sister Patricia Fluker, and Sister Michelle. Good morning to you, ladies. Good morning to you, Pastor David, Brother Cal, Brother Louis, Brother Jermaine, Brother Anthony, Brother D, Brother Mike Hopps, Brother George West Perry, Brother Lee Hamilton, Brother Justin Gilmore, Brother Marquez Griffin, and Brother Frank. Good morning to you. God bless you. God bless you. And I thank everyone who sent me a well wish or thought about me, yeah, prayed for me, whatever you could do. I thank God for you. Brother Marquez called me twice yesterday. He wanted to talk. I can't help who birthday it is. I got to tell you this. And so I just thank God. I just thank God for his people. Thank God for the people that love me and appreciate what God used me to do. I'm grateful unto him. Louis, you're too much. You're just too much. He got the emoji sleeping over here. Would y'all stop him from me because I can't do nothing with it. He's just too much. Just too much. Hallelujah. So look, we're going to one more song of the morning. And when we come back again, the studio is open. And if no one have anything they would like to say, then I will pray us out. And we pray the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Jesus in the Morning.
There's a train coming, don't need no baggage. You just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. You don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. Yeah. Train to Jordan, picking up passengers from coast to coast. Faith is the key, open up the doors and board them. There's room for all among those loved the most, yeah. So people get ready, there's a train. Just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. You don't need no ticket, you just get on board. Come on, play with it.
Daryl Dixon on the saxophone. I believe there are many ways to worship. Amen. We worship with our words. We worship with our instruments. We can worship with our entire bodies. My only prayer is that it's pleasing to the Lord. That's our only prayer. Only prayer that pleases you, though.
There ain't no room for the hopeless sinner who hurt all mankind just to save his own. Have pity on those, Lord, whose chances grow thinner. There ain't no hiding place from the kingdom throne. Yeah, so people get ready, there's a train. Just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesel's humming. You don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord.
Leroy, take your time, dude. Take your time. Thank you. You know what I'm talking about, worship? And right here is my good friend David Watson, plays the flute as well as the saxophone. In fact, he considers himself more of a flute player even still than a sax player. At least that's what your old man said. This is your turn, man. Sing on to the Lord a new song.
www.jesusinthemorningradio.com.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. People, get ready. There's a train coming. Don't need no ticket. Just get on board. All you need is faith. Yeah, faith to believe God to do what he need to do in us so that we'll be ready to go back with him when he comes. Hallelujah. I'm grateful unto him this morning, and we thank Almighty God. And I am just happy today. All is well, and looking for my gift of a chair to come in. A nice chair. Ooh, never had one that expensive before, but it was on sale. And so I thank God for the sale, and I was able to get it. And because usually, you know, I was paying like $89, $59, you know, when I caught the one on sale, but they wasn't all of that. But this particular one, it's over $200. And I got it on sale for about $149, I think it is. And they'll come and put it together. But my son said on his next, he'll be over here tomorrow, but on his next off day, he'll come and put that chair together. And so I was just excited. But Brother Louis, I didn't know that about Darryl Dixon. He played for P-Funk. Yeah, I didn't know about that. It just goes to show you some things. Bishop Ronald Brown, he had Billy Ray Cyrus and some other people playing it here. So we just thank God for good gospel music. So if no one have anything they would like to say, we'll get out early today. I will pray us out. And y'all go take a look at Kings, First Kings, and go over there and take a look at Solomon. I got to go back over there in Samuel and take a look at some things. So God bless you today. Have a blessed day and lift up. I want to say this to the intercessors. Y'all pray with me for the Thomas and Arnold family. My son-in-law, Vince, my daughter that passed away, husband, his granddad passed away yesterday. He called me. I was getting ready to go in the Red Lobster. He called me to wish me a happy birthday. And, you know, just talk to me for a few minutes. And I had to get off the phone with him. But later on, my son texted me and told me that the granddaddy had passed away. So he was 93, Mr. Thomas. I knew him. And so today I am going to, I think I bake cheesecake, maybe two, and I take it over to the family. I get over today, but probably to, it'll be Wednesday. So I may as well bake them tomorrow night And on Wednesday, I take two cheesecakes and a case of drinks over there for the family. Yeah, I don't think I'm taking chicken. Two cheesecakes and a case of drinks, and it will be all right. Yeah. Hallelujah. What? Chops Horn. Oh, I know that for over 30 years. Darryl Dixon. All right, Brother Louis, go on and research and get your stuff now. You know some things around here. All right, so we're going to pray out and intercessors. We keep that Thomas and the Arnold family lifted in prayer. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for all that has been said and done today. Thank you for your lesson, God, out of 1 Kings. And Lord, as we continue to read through the book this week, Lord, we ask that you would give us wisdom of your word. And Lord, help us to apply it to our everyday life. We know that the Old Testament was written for our learning. And God, we can learn much out of these books. And we thank you for your word, for your word is a lamp unto our feet. Father, it's a light unto our path. And forever, O God, thy word is settled in heaven. And we thank you this morning. We thank you that we're the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. No weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. Father, we are more than conquerors through your son, Christ Jesus, that loves us today. And Father, I bring your people before you and those that are sick, healed this morning. Father, those that stand in the need of finances, Lord, send money their way. Don't even let them have to go get it. God, send it to them. When they go to the mailbox, God, when they look at Cash App, PayPal, Lord, move for them today in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask that God, you would help us to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways. Not only will you hear from heaven, but Father, you'll forgive the sins and heal our lands. We ask that you would do it today in the name of Jesus. Bless our going out this morning. Father, bless our coming in and meet the need in our lives today, according to your riches and glory by your son, Christ Jesus. And we know that you meet need, God, you supply need, and we ask today that, Lord, you would move in a mighty way. Help us to have a mind to prepare, God, for what could take place. The grocery stores could shut down. There may not be food and the things that we need. So, Lord, let us look around. And, God, if we need candles and dry beans and rice and grits and flour, God, non-perishable items, water and batteries and lamp oils and, God, emergency radio, mosquito repellent, whatever we need, supply it. Lord, we might need sunscreen. Whatever we need, God, supply it today in the name of Jesus. Help us to prep, Lord, that nothing will creep up on us, but that we would have warning, and warning comes before destruction. Move us all. Open doors, God. Give us the finances to get the things we need stocked up. And if we have a big family, God, bless us to get it big so that everybody is comfortable, God, in the name of Jesus. Help me, Lord, to stop so that those who don't have, they can come in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We give you glory. We give you the honor and praise. And, Father, we ask it all this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We thank you today. We thank you. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from another in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you, February 28, 2022, in Jesus' name. So at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye again. Have a blessed day. One last song of the morning for them who can stay for it, and then I understand them who can't.
Might as well put your hands together. I got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back.
You can't have my increase.